Well, good morning, Briarcliff. Before the message, I'd like to take just a moment to talk a little bit about a building report. We're trying to do that on a weekly basis, kind of what's going on around here. And over the couple of years that we've been working on different phases, and we're down to the phase now that we'll take the auditorium and the lobby, and just that much, and we'll be able to expand quite a bit of seating in here for the days ahead. Part of that was airlock out there in the lobby. But this week, we got word back from the city that they've denied our building permit. We found out that that's primarily because of the airlock. We cannot add on, even though that's a very minimal amount, we cannot add that on as square footage to what they call a combustible building because there is some wood involved in the building. The only way we do that is sprinkle the whole building. And if you know anything about the cost, that would be insurmountable. So we've taken the airlock off for now. We don't know exactly what we're going to do that. We're just suggesting wear coats when you come in the lobby, you know, and you'll be all right because it'll be warm in here. But then we'll be able to move ahead. The city says verbally we've got an agreement with them. Everything's all right. And they should issue that this week for us to do the auditorium and the lobby. That will be this phase. There's a lot of phases yet to go. So don't think when we get this done, we're finished. A lot more yet to go. One part is the parking lot itself. That has been taken off the table for right now because we got bids back on the parking lot and they came up. We had some estimates, but we didn't know for sure. But got the estimates back this week, and that would cost $9,000 per parking spot. So we're going to install parking meters. And in about 50 years, we'll have it paid for, you know. Now, so we're putting that on hold. And we're going back to civil engineer, figuring out, and we'll get it figured out. I'm going to talk about open doors this morning, but doors open and doors close, you know, and so you just keep on moving ahead. We'll be working out some arrangements, I think, with the church next door for parking, and we've talked to them about that, and we can walk or shuttle over here. I don't know if you've been over here, whether your YMCA was, but that's all been torn down. The city has done a great job in there. And an Olympic-sized pool and bathhouse and parking lot, and that will be available. And so we'll shuttle from over there. So we're probably asking a number of you to be willing to ride shuttle. And on a cold, wintry day, or it's raining, how about just coming to your car and picking you up and bringing you to the door? And then, you see some of these limousines are sort of old and they're no longer used. And I'm going to buy one of those and just pick you up. You'll be a VIP and we'll limo you over here. You'll probably be on a van or whatever. But anyway, there's a lot of ways in this process, you know, that doors open, but a lot of doors close. And so we're on our way. We'll probably be working on this for nearly the rest of the year. We'll be working with a contractor on getting a more definite timeline. And we'll find out the fun of how we're going to negotiate all this in here. All this stage will be torn out, and we'll be able to bring seating up much closer. We'll be able to gain probably at least 100 more seats in here. And we're anticipating needing that, at least that, in the days ahead. So it's going to be an exciting days, and you don't mind a little sawdust, do you, and coming here on Sunday. And so I want to talk to you this morning, though, about open doors. The book of Revelation, there are seven churches. And by the way, you as moms and dads, if you don't quite catch all this about the seven churches, then when you get home, talk to your kids. They can explain it to you because in our children's ministry, they're talking about the seven churches. And so if you don't quite understand this, they will, and they can explain it to you. But there's one particular church. It was Philadelphia. What I like about Philadelphia, out of those seven churches, Jesus condemned most all of them except two. One of them was Philadelphia. And he says, I have placed before you an open door. I think that is a great message to us as a church. It is also a great message to each one of us here today. What kind of door is God placing before you? All of us understand there have been times that doors have been closed in your life. Sometimes doors closed are very painful. But then usually if you take a look, if there's a closed door in your life, God is opening up another door of opportunity. So I want us to look at the church at Philadelphia. They were faithful. They were faithful. One of the things that that helped them know that open door, they were faithful. I'm going to give you five things. I think we can learn five lessons from the church at Philadelphia. The first one is in this first verse that was read today, and that is faithfully focus on Jesus. There's a lot of things that can distract us, but faithfully focus on Jesus. Let me read this scripture here, verse 7 again. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia. Stop this moment. I want you to remember, we've talked about this before, but who is the angel at the church at Philadelphia? I can see that you need to have that refreshed in your mind. That's the pastor. Yeah. I'm expecting a little bit of respect out of you. I am Angel Vernon. Or if you want a better ring to it, Angel Armitage. How's that sound? Don't you ever forget it. It's from the Word of God. I'm not making it up. So it's to the angel of the church, to the pastor there. The word of the, here's who is speaking now. The Holy One, the true one. We might say the true north. What's the thing about true north is there something that's not true about north? Well, there's a magnetic north, but that's not true north. We're talking here about the Holy One, the true one. And he is the one that puts before us the focus that we need. There's a lot of distractions in this world. There's a lot of doors out there of opportunity that we might look at that they look very good. Satan is always there to put up a door and say, why don't you come through here? The world tantalizes us saying, look at this door, look at this door, take this door. Even our own self, we create doors of our own imagination. That should be a great door. You remember the game show? I think it started in 1963. It's been around a long time. It's still on. I think it started off on NBC, went to ABC, and now it's on CBS. Started in 1963. Monty Hall. What's that game show? Let's Make a Deal. Three doors. Which door will you take? There's more than three doors open to us. And churches a lot of times get distracted as well as people. So there's a lot of good things out there, but they're not the things that God has in mind for us. So we can become terribly distracted. I'm not very good at driving and talking at the same time. I always, Charlene, say, where are you going? I look up and I say, I have no idea. But we're having a good conversation. And I have a difficult time. Sometimes it's very embarrassing, especially if I'm picking up somebody as a guest and I'm taking them around doing something, we're talking, and I think, oh my goodness, they think I've taken them on the scenic route. It seems like we go forever to get there. So I know that there's things that will distract us that look very, very appealing to us. And so that's the reason why that this true north or the true one is the one that we have to have some way that God wants to place his compass inside of us that points to the true one. Then he goes on to say, he's the one that has the keys to this door, who opens that no one can shut. He's also the one that will close doors, and he's the one that will open doors. He's the only one that can open up the door, even though a lot of times we think we can. I just find a number of people that think they're going to open up the doors of heaven just because they're doing good things. A lot of times we think we can do ministry on our own and forget that only God. I wish at times I had the power, and thank God I don't, to open up the door for people and push them through the door of salvation. I've worked with people. I've tried to encourage them to make that commitment to go through that door of salvation. And I'm very, very limited in that. But I wonder this morning, what door God has placed before you? And I'm always wondering, what door does God have for Briarcliff? There's a lot of opportunities. What opportunity, what door is it that God wants us as a church to fulfill in the days ahead? He has the key. And it's a wonderful world out there of doors. But I want to walk through the right door and not walk into elevator shaft that's empty. What door is that for you? Faithfully focus on Jesus if you want to walk through the right door. Number two, faithfully do God's assigned work. Look in verse 8, it says, I know your works, and God knows your works. I wish some way I had time to just show you all of what goes on around here through the week. I wish I could just introduce you to the number of people that are here. Most every day that I come, there are people at work doing something here at the church. There are so many behind the scenes things happening, and God knows. No one may know your work. No one knows how many hours you spend here working as volunteer, but God knows. He says, I know your works. And five of the churches he condemned, but Philadelphia was one that he said, I have a door for you because you've been faithful. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the five talent, two talent, one talent man? The interesting thing to me is that the five talent and the two talent, he said to them, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Now, here's what I want you to notice. He said the same thing to the five talent guy as he did to the two talent guy. No matter if you have five talents or only two talents, when you're faithful in using what God has assigned to you, you will hear those same words. You'll hear those same words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I tell you, when I get to heaven, I'd love to hear Jesus say, well done. I'd like for him to be able to say about this church, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Could I pause for just a moment and thank you? Because many of you have been so very faithful. You take out large amounts of time to use your abilities. And we've seen doors open. I got to think about that this week. The doors that God has opened to us. I've been pastor here for 5 years. The last 2 years in this facility here. And just think about, I want to show you some pictures of kind of where we've come from. 5 years ago, next month, the very first of the month, here's where we met. A little storefront over in the village of Briarcliff. And we'd put those signs out. And then you would walk inside. This is a huge auditorium we had on the inside. Be fortunate if we could seat 50 people in there, and then the people would stand. We'd have people standing around there. The best thing about that location, it's located right across from Jose Peppers. Just walk out of worship right in, just cross the street and you're still there, you know. But that door closed, and I had to go someplace else. No Jose Pepper, but it's all right over on Vivian. And then when we went over there, we walked into this room that is all white, ceiling white, everything is white. It's ugly. So we go in, and we had groups of volunteers working over there, electricians, painters, cleaner-uppers, and all that. Just a lot of work. And we took all the ceiling out, painted it black, and then it turned out looking pretty good. And if you open up, then you see what it looked like later on. We moved over there in December of that year, right after we started in August. We moved over there in December with a humongous crowd of 92 there on that first Sunday. And we thought we were jam-packed because we had a lot of extra people coming that day because we just started there. And so that was a tremendous day for us in moving there. But then we wondered, what are we going to do for child care? What are we going to do for children? And I was real concerned about that. When we moved there, I thought, where in the world? I could not see where in the world will we take care of children. Now, I know they'll be coming. We don't have any now, but I know they'll be coming. So where are we going to put them? And then lo and behold, there was a building that opened up that we could use. And then the school used it for Awana. And then 2 years ago, the wonderful people at Northgate were tolerant enough to let us come in here. And this was our first Sunday here, if you'll remember that. We had a lot of guests here that day and had a really, really good group here on that day. Now the question comes is, where to from here? Do you think God is saying, okay, good enough, good enough? Roger, would you stand up for just a moment? This is a guy that started all off in Briarcliff at 2008. And give him a great hand of appreciation. Roger, I tried to find the baton that you handed me, and I could not find the picture. Do you happen to have that anywhere?
I have to look and see. I don't know.
If you do, I'd like to have that. The baton was an oversized coffee cup, and I have it in my office, never to forget. So, and I remember, that wasn't long ago, I was over there, and they were talking about you. You made such an impact on that village around of being such a caring pastor. And so, just thank you for the privilege that you've given us here and getting us started off there. And so anyway, thank you, Roger, so much, you and your wife here. Now the question comes is, where to from here? Any of you be comfortable saying, okay, good enough, let's just stop here? Any of you comfortable enough to say, I don't think we need to look at any more open doors? This is good enough. I've been accused of being one that is never satisfied. And then people say, are you ever satisfied? Well, the answer is simple. No. Not as long as there's one person that doesn't know Christ in this world, I am not satisfied. And so what are the next open doors for us? What is it that God wants to continue to do in working through us at Briarcliff? I don't know. How's that for a good leader? I do know that there's other open doors. Just like when we went into the village and moved over to the Vivian location, I didn't know where we were going to expand. But God opened the doors. I just knew he was. I just know that there's a lot more people. Next Sunday I'm going to talk about for those yet to come. Why are we doing the expansion? Why are we doing this? The same reason we had done that for you that were not here yet. And we had a group of people that says, let's get ready for people like you here today that are yet to come. We'll talk about that next week. But for now, faithfully do the work that God has assigned to us today. Number three, is faithfully move through the door that is open. He says, behold, I have set before you an open door. Door to what? What's behind that door? Door to what? He set before us an open door. Now, before I look at what's behind those doors, what door again is God set him before you. I don't think there's a one of you. But what God has an open door that he wants you to come through that you've not entered yet. And just because he set the door there doesn't mean anything unless you're willing to go through it. That open door may be one because you've had other doors to close, sometimes very painfully. I'm telling you, there's great things in that next room. But you have to be willing to go in. God does not give us a gift of peeping into the room. Well, let me look. Wouldn't you like, and let's make a deal. Let me just peek behind those doors and then I can choose. God places before you a door. Now you have to decide, will I go through? Because if you do, you have to give up the comfort of the room that you're in now. So what is behind that door? The Bible talks about doors in a number of ways, and there are two things that come to mind. One is the very kingdom of God, and then another was opportunities. God opens up the door to his kingdom. John talked about that in the book of Revelation. He said that God has opened up the door of that leads into heaven. And some of you, you think that that door is going to open up to you because you're a pretty good person. And that is not going to happen. There are people today that miss heaven by 18 inches. I mean, you understand, you know, and you believe it in your head, but never has gotten down to your heart to take control of your life. You may be one that, as Matthew 7, 21 says, Lord, Lord, did I not do all these wonderful things? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because you never walked through the door. You never walked through the door. And so God opens up the door to heaven. He wants so much for you to be a part of that. He wants so much to have you in his kingdom. But he's not going to force that. The question is, would you take the opportunity to walk through that door and say, I have so many questions about that, I don't understand it. That's the reason why we have Exploring Faith. I challenge you. I even dare you to come. You say, well, I don't know about for sure about this Jesus and the rest. I'm not, the Bible, I'm not sure about all that. Why don't you come to Exploring Faith? I'm not going to give you the answers. I'm just going to give you a lot of questions that'll help you do a search. Who do you have a friend that you might be able to bring for that? The open door. I know for me that 5 years ago, when they talked to me about coming to Briarcliff, and Roger, when I looked at that, I thought, this is not a very attractive door. I don't know if I want to do that. I had a hard time thinking about, and then God began to open my mind to some possibility. I began to see what could be. And this seemingly, at that point for me, seemed like a very tiny door. I'd been in the ministry of big doors. Now, God, what are you doing here? But as I look back over my shoulder, I would have missed all of this. I'd have missed all of this to see God work in such fabulous way if I had not walked through that tiny door that God placed before me. What tiny door has God got before you? Will you say yes and walk through that door? That door will always carry the marks of the purpose of this church, of sharing Christ. What kind of doors are they going to be open to you to share Christ and maybe bring them to exploring faith? Growing. Our mission is to share Christ, grow in community. I hope every one of you will be in a group this just in a few weeks. When we start studying the book of Mark, I've been every day, nearly every day, reading and studying the book of Mark. And the more that I read it, I can hardly wait till we get there and begin to open up, because it's focused primarily on Jesus. You'll have a greater understanding and a greater relationship with Jesus than you've ever had when we get finished with that book. I wonder if that'd be an open door that you could come and be a part of a group. I hope you will. And then the open door of sharing and serving. If you've not been through Discover Your Design, watch for that the next time it comes up. There's a way you can serve around here. You've got abilities, you've got talents, you've got resources, there's a way. What kind of open doors is there for you? Number four is faithfully look to God's power, not your own. It says here in verse 8, and I feel like this is personalized to me. He said, I know that you have but little power. That's got Vernon Armitage written all over it. Maybe you feel that same way. I've never gone in, I don't think, to anything that God has called me into and say, Lord, that's beyond me. It's beyond me. In fact, I think it's good for a church sometime to think, what are we doing that's beyond us? A lot of churches operate, and God could go on vacation and never show up, and they'd never know it, because things just rock along. What about your own life? Are you plunging into things and going through open doors? You say, if God doesn't show up on this, I am sunk. Most every time when I'm sitting over here getting ready to come and preach, I did this same thing. This morning I was looking over my notes, and I thought, oh God, this could be the most boring day in people's lives unless you show up. I don't have the power. I don't have the power because I don't know what's going on in your heart. I don't have the power to reach in there. I don't have the power to touch. I don't have the power to heal. I don't have the power to do what you need. Only God. I am powerless in so many different ways. And so are you. You're powerless on making it to heaven. You're powerless on being able to live the Christian life. You're powerless on being able to serve adequately. Only without this power, we'll fail. Do you ever notice how God chooses some of the most unlikely people? Mary and Joseph. Why was so impressive about them? Even King David. He was the last to be chosen to look at. Jeremiah, he said, I'm just a kid. Don't call on me. When Moses said, I stutter. I can't even talk plain. Don't call on me. It's amazing how many times God reaches down to places like Chestnut Ridge. Isn't that an impressive town? Population 3 until I left, and there's 2 left. And God said, I think I want you to become pastor of the largest Baptist church in Missouri. You got to be kidding me. You're small. You're weak. And God said, that's exactly what I'm looking for. To open up the way. Will you respond? Last of all, number 5. Faithfully keep God's word. That's the people that God will use. You read God's word and you faithfully keep it. He said to the church in Philadelphia, you have kept my word and have not denied my name. 5 of the churches did not please Christ. The first one was Ephesus, and he said, you've lost your first love for me. A couple of other churches, he said, you've gotten so involved in sexually around there that I can't use a place like that. The Laodicea, the lukewarm. I can't use you. You're neither cold nor hot. But the church at Philadelphia, they were faithful. They were faithful. To walk through this door that God will place before you and before our church has tons of challenges. Any God-given door will be challenged. Going through this door that God has before you right now is not the easiest route, but it's the best route. And I want to challenge you, like God has challenged the churches in the past, with an open door. And when Jesus began to offer that challenge, when he did miracles, he had crowds. He quit doing miracles and began to talk very plainly to them, and they all began to leave. In John chapter 6, verse 66, Jesus turned around and said, "Are you going to leave me also?" And Peter said, "Well, where would we go?" This door, I'm going to tell you what's on the inside this door. The door to salvation, the door to great opportunities to serve. And when you open up that door, you're going to see a cross. Because Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, must take up his own cross and follow me. Jesus died on the cross to open up for us the door to salvation. And he died there on that cross, and he was resurrected out of the grave. No one has ever done that. Never to die again. And then when we open that door, he said, here's a cross for you. That cross simply means this. It means you lay down your life and surrender to Jesus the same way Jesus surrendered to his cross. Have you surrendered? In the book, in the Laodicea, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking to a church, but it fits us as individuals. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, and there's some of you today, you know what it is for God to tug. Let me give a word of caution. I know from experience. I was able to manipulate Daniel. He'd knock at the door. I want to go through that door. And it wasn't long until I didn't hear it anymore. If God's tapping at your door, tugging, I beg you to say yes. You're scared. You don't understand it. I don't know what's beyond that door. Say yes. And some of you today, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I want you to take that bread and the cup, and I want you to hold it there. And I want you to say yes. Lord, these represent your broken body and your spilt blood on the cross. Now this morning, I want to make sure to say yes to you for that tap on the door. I don't know what that is. If I did, I'd push you. But I can't. But will you say yes? Let's pray together. God, thank you for this reminder called the Lord's Supper that you initiated in that upper room before you went to the cross. The bread representing your broken body. Broken. You broke down the doors of the shackle of sin, of death. You broke that down. You destroyed it. And the cup represents your blood, your life's blood, that gives us new life. You've done so much for us. Now, Lord, as you tug at our hearts and we look at this communion, let us just hold it there until everyone is completely served. As we're holding it, Let us say yes to you for Christ's sake. Amen.